You're listening to The Record on KUOW. I'm David Hyde.
I'm Marcy Silman. Today, a Washington State employee can be denied insurance benefits for mental health care, for blood work, even for mending broken bones. They can be denied, that is, if they're transgender. Advocates for trans people think it's time for a change. In April of this year, they brought their case to the Public Employees Benefit Board, the board that buys health care for all Washington State workers. These advocates asked the board to remove discriminatory exclusions from the state plans. And this week, the board announced that it will consider making the changes as soon as January 2016. Gender Justice League Advocacy Director Danielle Aschini helped to advocate for the change, and she joins us now. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Marcy. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for being with us. When you presented to the board in April, a public employee named Laura Harrington gave testimony. Who is she?
Sure. So Laura Harrington is an administrator at the University of Washington, and she works for the Air Force ROTC. And she is a mother and a wife of both a transgender husband, and she has a transgender son. And so for her, this issue of these healthcare exclusions was greatly impactful for her family. And so she shared her personal story of the economic and emotional burden that these exclusions have had on her family.
How many people, in addition to Laura Harrington, would be affected if the exclusions were removed?
You know, it's a really good question. It's hard for us to know since there's no specific data on the number of transgender people that are in the population. But we know that I think state employees, the PEB covers about 330,000 state employees. And we estimate about 40 to 50 transgender people over the course of the next 5 to 10 years will probably be impacted. But certainly we have seen in our community a number of people come forward with really disturbing cases of having experienced how these exclusions have, as you said in your lead, allowed them to be denied routine medical health care.
So what specific changes are you asking for?
Sure. So we're asking primarily for parity. So a lot of the services that transgender people receive in the course of receiving health care are similar to non-transgender people. So things like mental health care therapy, access to hormone treatments such as estrogen or testosterone, and routine doctor's visits. Any visit that a transgender person goes to see their primary care provider or their therapist or even a specialist, where that specialist notes in the medical chart or is coded in the insurance coding that they are transgender or have gender dysphoria, which is the medical category and term for transgender people, that visit can be excluded by health insurance companies just arbitrarily based on the fact that they are transgender. So we're asking for these blanket exclusions to be removed.
So how is removing an exclusion different from asking for coverage?
Sure. So the exclusions that we're asking to have removed would allow people to have access at parity. So it doesn't necessarily guarantee, for instance, access to surgical care. People who want to access surgical care would have to do, or transgender people who want to access surgical care would have to do the same thing as everybody else, which is make the case of medical necessity with their doctor. And so a transgender patient and their doctor would set a course of treatment, as all other people do with their doctors, and then that doctor would make the case to the insurance company about the medical necessity of that care. These blanket exclusions really prevent doctors from even making the case to insurance companies about the medical necessity, and that's what we take issue with.
I'm speaking with Danielle Aschini. She's with the Gender Justice League. And so essentially what I'm hearing you say is that there's two types of care. One are just standard primary care treatments that any patient would go to, but because some transgender people would have a code that says they're there because of gender, that they are transgender, mm-hmm. that those might not be covered. That's separate from things that might be specifically related to treatment for medical conditions related to gender dysphoria.
Sure,
is that right?
Absolutely true. Yeah.
Okay. So what are those special treatments?
Sure. So I wouldn't call them special.
Okay.
People who are transgender, the healthcare that we receive is similar to everybody else. So it usually looks like a course of therapy or seeing a therapist to discuss gender issues, followed for some people being prescribed hormones by their doctors. And for a smaller number of transgender people, they pursue surgical treatments. So that might be bilateral chest reconstruction or mastectomy. or it might involve some additional surgeries. But that is a far smaller percentage of the transgender population. But we also think that when doctors deem this being medically necessary to treat gender dysphoria, that doctors should be the ones to make the determination about whether that health care is needed.
But the coding of that designation of the patient as being affected by gender dysphoria, right now, if they're state workers, those can't even be considered. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay.
And non-transgender people also, you know, have reasons to have bilateral mastectomies,
right,
or have reasons to have other surgeries. And so we're actually, the surgeries that transgender people undergo are the same surgeries that all other non-transgender people have access to currently under this plan. It's just that diagnosis of being identified as being a transgender individual,
right,
or what we consider a protected class, that triggers these denials.
A number of major employers in our region, Amazon, Microsoft, Boeing, do not allow those kinds of gender dysphoria exclusions. What have we learned about what that is costing their insurance providers?
Sure. So there's a really good study by the University of California, Los Angeles, that looked at this, looked at the number of Fortune 500 companies that have extended these benefits, and have found that the cost is really negligible to the plan, in large part because the utilization is so low. So there's a very small number of transgender people who utilize this care. But what we do know for those transgender people, that 45% of transgender people in Washington State have attempted suicide at some point in their lifetime. And we know from further research that just access to hormones, mental health care, and primary care visits can reduce that rate of suicide from about 40%, 45% down to about 1% to 2%, which is the average for the general population.
Danielle Aschini is the advocacy director for the Gender Justice League. She's been a trans woman since she was 15. Public Employee Benefits Board say they're going to address health policy exclusions by January of 2016. Danielle, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me on, Marcy.
It's The Record from KUOW with David Hyde. I'm Marcy Silman.